Good morning.
Good morning. How's it going?
It's going well. I enjoyed the cold weather this morning.
You did. Yes. You're not good. Get out of here right now. No, just joking. If you know me, I'm the pastor. And who are you?
I am Carrie Hover. I am a licensed counselor at Cornerstone Family Services, and I have an office here, graciously given to me by you.
Yes, we partnered another to do ministry together, and God has done some amazing things through the people we have counseled throughout the years here at Delaware Christian through the ministry you have in this building. So for the last few weeks, we have been talking about marriage. And from the beginning, I have said, listen, this is not only for married people, right? There are some skills that we are talking about here that's applicable to any relationship. And reality is eventually, in one way or another, we'll be in a committed relationship. So that's important. There's some principles here that are important for everybody.
Yeah, and I really hope that doesn't scare people off, that we say this is about marriage and it's not over, because we are in relationship in all kinds of ways.
Yes. So today we start to wrap up this series. We have three more sermons, two more sermons on this. Today's the
One more.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So two more, and so we're gonna be wrapping up, trying to tie the knot a little nicely, right? That make sure that things are nicely and neat. So we start that today, and so today's sermon is called "Gain and Losing Respect." If there is one thing I have learned on my career as a pastor, is that most couples, all the couples who come to my office with some kind of discrepancy between them, are asking or focusing on this little word called respect.
Yeah, I think respect is a key word that people use today, right? Mm-hmm. Like it's a hot topic, right?
Yes.
What does that mean? And so I'm excited to talk about what it means today.
And it's crucial. Love and respect are equally important in a committed relationship.
Yep, and we talked about love a lot and respect just a little bit. So
yes.
I think today's the day for respect.
So let's start with the Bible verse. Philippians chapter 2, verse 3 is very important in our understanding how the Bible speaks of the word respect, right? And Paul writing to the church, and he says this, do nothing from selfishness or empty conceit, but with humility of mind, let each of you regard one another as more important than himself. I love that. With humility of mind, let each of you regard one another as more important than himself.
Mm-hmm. That's a key part there, right? Someone is more important than myself. What does that mean? What does that look like?
So that's what we'll be talking about today. And the theme for today is this. Respect in relationship comes when each individual focuses on being responsible for how their actions affect the other.
Mm-hmm. I think I can't wait to really dig into that, because a lot of times we are looking at how your actions affect me, not the other way around.
And I think that's when you start to lose in respect, right? And marriage loses its honor when respect for the spouse is lost. And successful marriages are very high in honor. And I think that's one of the things that we have lost sight of in the 21st century.
Honoring each other. In our marriage, yes, absolutely. I think we have really lost that idea of mutuality, right? Of that idea of how are we doing this together?
Yeah, I think when you start talking about the word respect, like is a lost art. Respect is a lost art in the 21st century. And as I talk to my kids, as I'm raising kids, the word respect is just not something that is in their vocabulary. So you need to teach kids how to respect. But the culture around us is so filled with lack of respect that it's hard to create this this environment of respect even in our own homes.
I think it's a word that has gotten a lot of disrespect, no pun intended, right?
You know,
and the idea that, you know, we really have decided that respect comes with this idea of you have to do something to earn it, right?
And people don't really know how to define it, right, either.
Right.
And I think one of the things that you talked earlier today is that people just use respect according to their own definition of it.
Their own definition, right. And so that means that's really not considering your needs higher than my needs if it's it's just my definition and you have to fulfill that, whether you know my definition or not.
Mm. Yeah, so respect, like, do whatever I want, is if not.
Do what I say.
That's exactly it. And as someone who is a second, English is a second language, definition of words means a lot to me. Like, I need to know what the word means, like, it, by a dictionary. Because I have found that most people who are first, the English is their first language, they just use the words in the way that they want, right? Like, I have heard being said it, and I said it, they don't really know, like, what the meaning is.
What they're talking about, yeah.
Yes. Mm-hmm. So, they define in their own way, in their own context, and it's sometimes out of context, and it's not applied to the definition that it is. So, here's the definition of respect. Out of the dictionary, this is what it says. Respect is a verb which means to hold in esteem or honor, integrity, to show regard or consideration for someone. So to respect someone is to hold that person to a high esteem, to honor that person with integrity, not faking, right? To show regard and consideration towards that person.
Yeah, I think that as a verb, right, that is something that we are actively doing, right? We mm-hmm. need to remind ourselves of that. And that idea of esteem and honor is you as a person. Your character is something that I am honoring. It does not mean that I have to agree with everything that's coming out of your mouth, mm-hmm. but I can, with respect, listen and honor you as, I know you as an individual.
So, yeah, so Philippians chapter 2, verse 3 really mm-hmm. talked about that, right? Do nothing from selfishness or empty conceit, but with humility of mind, let each of you regard one another as more important than other. That's like holding in high esteem and honor somebody else, being doing that out of integrity of the heart, not faking it, showing regard to somebody. Can you read the word regard there? To show in regard.
Don't you think that's a good question to ask yourself? Like, when you're talking with someone and you're asking yourself, is this respectful or not? What's your motive behind what you're saying, what you're asking, how you're saying it? Is this something where I am looking for you to stroke my ego, or am I trying to gain something that maybe doesn't benefit you, right? I'm not looking for a mutual benefit there. Those are ways in which to really challenge that idea of respect.
Yeah, so if I haven't made the point to you that the Bible speaks about respect in marriage, Hebrews mm-hmm. chapter 13, verse 4, I'll be the last one that I'll bring it up for you and says this. Hebrews chapter 13, verse 4 says this, hold marriage in high esteem. Hebrews chapter 13, verse 4 says, hold marriage in high esteem. So, yeah, but I think on what you're saying is one of the things that we don't know is, like, how does respect look like, right?
Right.
But how does that look like in our marriages, in our relationship, on a day-to-day thing?
Mm-hmm. And I think that's something that we're going to talk about, some ways that it looks like. And I think that what I hope is that if this gets confusing, people will ask us those questions that we can answer on the live Facebook on Wednesday. But this is something where it can be intangible, right? Because it has been so misconstrued as to what respect is. It's, it has that huge pendulum swing of, are you saying I have to do something that's wrong or accept abuse? Those kinds of things.
Yes.
It gets really distorted.
Yes, and that's not what we're talking about, right? Mm-hmm. It is a mutuality, and we'll talk here in a second. So the first point we want you to get about this, there are four things that we have learned in relationships and pray for couples that will help them create this mutual respect for one another that really makes people understand the importance of respecting one another, especially in marriage. And the first one is this: mutual respect is a foundation for any relationship.
Mm-hmm. Mutual meaning that we both are doing it, mm-hmm. that we both are considering each other, and that we both are coming from this idea of I like you, and I respect you as a person. Maybe I shouldn't use the word in my definition, but, that's really that idea of, do I trust that you are a person of character, mm-hmm. of integrity, and do I know that to be true of you, no matter what happens to be coming out of your mouth right now?
Yeah, in Romans chapter 13, verse 4, Paul tells us this, right? That, like, if it is important, it's foundation. Paul is kind of trying to apply the word respect and honor to every single relationship that is out there. And he says this, pay all of them what you owe. If you owe taxes, then pay it. If you owe fees, then pay it. In the same way, give honor and respect to those who deserve it. So he's trying to create the word respect in all kind of relationships over here. So on this context, but then I bring it to marriage and I say, give honor and respect to those who deserve it. Nobody else but Jesus deserves respect more than your spouse. I think so many times we have our priorities not straight in our relationships. So we have, you know, relationship with God as important, and then we put kids in there or work in there as a second. And that's not how biblically it's supposed to go. Biblically, we're supposed to esteem God, right? At the highest is God. God and it's the most important relationship. So we honor him and we respect him. We esteem him. That's this high esteem in there. And then the second one is your spouse, is your wife, right? And then third is your kids. And the list goes down from there. But the first is God. The second is your spouse. Mm-hmm. Paul saying, give honor and respect to those who is due, who deserves it.
Mm-hmm. And I think that word deserve gets really confusing to people, because then we say, you know, God deserves our respect. And then I put my spouse somewhere in there, and it gets a little confusing, because respect is not something that we're giving based on whether you've earned it or not. That is an unconditional thing that we choose and accept that we're going to do when we choose to be in partnership with someone.
Yeah, we have talked about this a little bit. Like, right, this word unconditional, it works any place else but in marriage, right? Mm-hmm. So unconditional, there's unconditional love. And now here we talked about unconditional respect. That really has to do with the grace, right? You don't deserve it and you get it. It is unconditional. God gives it to you. And we are often wanting grace to be applied in every area of our lives. But when it comes to marriage, we're not willing to allow grace to abide. There's no unconditional anything.
Right. I think we really, and we have to catch ourselves when we're saying yes, but, right? Mm-hmm. Yes, I respect you, but if you hear that word, you need to be challenging yourself, not your partner. That's really a red flag for you, right? If you're saying, yes, of course I respect my partner, but you don't understand. You don't know what he does. You don't know what he says. Well, we need to turn that back and look at ourselves of how we're doing that in our own life with our own relationship with God.
Yes.
Right? And then really ask ourselves, what we're doing towards our partner first.
So if it is foundation for us, we believe that there is four things that are really important in building that foundation of respect. So if there is a house, the foundation is called respect. There's some bricks that you got to put it up. And here are the four of them. The first one is mutual love. You got to have mutual love. This understanding that you are for one another, that you're sacrificially living your life to one another. Agape, I will die for you. I'll live for you. I'll sacrifice myself for you. And I'm not talking about literally dying here, right? It's putting someone else in front of you, like esteeming them, honoring them. Love means I will self-sacrifice myself for your better.
Mm-hmm. And we're using love as a verb here today,
yes,
too. Yeah, that's that action of love, not how I feel at the
yep
moment.
Mm-hmm. The second thing is mutual trust. The second brick is mutual trust. Believe on the spouse. Hope. Have hope in the spouse. Have this I believe in you attitude, right? Like mm-hmm a lot of couples and throughout my career has come to me and they don't believe in each other. They don't believe that the person that they're with can beat that addiction. They don't believe that the person with them can make good decisions, make better decisions. They don't believe that that person can provide for them. And then it creates a lot of friction and problems.
Yeah, and I think there's a couple of things there where, one, we have to remember that James says, hope does not put us to shame.
Oh,
so
gee,
that is
yeah
not something that we need to say, yes, I can't do that because that hurts too much. There is nothing about hope that will put us to shame. But we also need to believe the best in our partner. So in that gap between what I really wanted to happen and what really did happen, can we assume the best about our partner, right? Do I believe that your intentions were good, that you're trying, that you're trying to honor God, and we all mess up? That's where that grace comes from. But if I'm going from that idea that you intended to do that and your intentions were wrong, then we really aren't building that mutual trust with each other.
I think you touched on something fundamental there. Believe the best mm-hmm of someone else, especially your spouse. A lot of spouse comes, the attitude towards one another is so negative that yeah you can't think good about that person to the point that you can be taken to trust them and believe in them and yeah hope that they can do better.
Yeah, it's hard to build a relationship when that trust is what I usually say is crumbly, right? Mm-hmm. There hasn't been anything maybe that's broken it, like a betrayal or something that's been devastating, but it can become crumbly, right? When I stop believing the best in you.
Yeah. The third one is mutual benefit. If it matters to you, it matters to me, right? You know, because if it is important to you, it must be sacred to me. It must be very important to me. And not only that, you won't make any moves to damage that respect, mm-hmm. right?
Right. How are we supporting each other, right?
Yes.
So if something is good for you, good for your soul, good for your well-being, right, then I want to be supporting that. I want to find out ways in which that I can encourage you to do that. You know, if that's a hobby that you love to do, or if you're an introvert and you really need that alone time, how am I encouraging that? Because it is beneficial that if you're getting what you need, it's beneficial for our relationship.
And I don't think people understand that, and especially in spouses, right? And I see this being mutual benefit being broken in so many ways. Guys and girls has individual needs. We all have individual needs. Even though we're together with somebody, there are some things that are important to us because it makes us thrive, right? For me, for example, is a hobby, right? It's a time for me to go and play soccer. Like, that is important for me. And Laura, in the 16 years we have been married, she has never gotten in the way of that. Even at times where it was going to be painful for her, she was like, that's important to him. It is important for me, mm-hmm. right? And I see a lot of spouses not taking in consideration what is important for the person because, well, if she does that or if he does that, well, I'll have, this is not going to work out for me in this way or in that way or whatever.
Right. It goes back to that idea of I'm really thinking about myself more than I'm thinking about you. And if we reverse that, we actually get the best of both worlds,
yes.
right? Is that it,
yes.
it does become mutually beneficial.
Yeah. And then the last one is support, which we have been touching here through the benefit. Mutual support, mutual care, provision, and sustenance for one another. It's people coming together in order to provide the best scenario possible. And so many times we're not working to support one another, to create the best scenario. We are actually fighting against each other to see who can do what for somebody else.
Right. That and that probably comes out of fear, right? Like that I'm not going to get what I need.
Yeah.
But if
yeah.
we let go of that fear and we go, look, I'm just going to go full in and support you on this, that we would find that we will get back what we want as well.
So, okay, you just said the word fear. So are you saying the fear is one of those things that allows respect to fly out of the window in our marriages?
Absolutely. And I think, again, fear is a feeling, right?
Sure.
And so
mm-hmm.
it's indicating something, right? Maybe it's indicating that you're not getting something that you need. But if we base it on that fear, then all of a sudden we're creating damage in our relationship.
Yeah, so the second point we want to make here for you is that mutual respect can be damaged and must be repaired, but will take some effort. I mean, we are always damaging our respect towards our spouse, right? And usually, how does that usually happen?
Well, Emerson Eggerich wrote this book called Love and Respect, where mm-hmm. he calls it the crazy train, which is, I think everyone will recognize this, is that when I am feeling unloved, my actions are disrespectful to my partner. And when my partner is feeling disrespected, his actions are unlovable towards me. That's how I experience it. All of a sudden, we're on the crazy train, right? Because now we're acting out of disrespect and unloving actions, and we have to repair that before we can get back to the sane train.
Yeah. So it takes time to repair that, and for that you need grace, right? You need mm-hmm. grace. You need that unconditional love and trust and benefit and support to be applied to your life, so that you can start to build this trust back up.
Right, and but that includes good communication skills, that includes good listening skills, all these things that we've talked about is building up to how do we do that. So if mutual respect has been damaged, let's go back and use some of those tools we've already talked about in repairing that and really trying to understand our partner from their perspective first.
Yeah, that's important. The third thing is this. Mutual respect must be sustained by both spouses. And both partners must be committed to fill their relationship with mutual respect. This is done by clarifying boundaries, their needs, their wishes. One cannot read each other's mind. Often we do not know how we are wounding people, how we are hurting people. Mm-hmm. So we need to know those. So focusing on those things, I think, will help us into sustain some of the respect that we have lost.
We are never going to create an environment in our marriage where there is nothing that flares up, right? Where we're never going to have a problem. And I think if we really institute this idea of mutual respect of, I am not understanding something here, and I'm going to be intentional about trying to understand it, and I'm not going to escalate that conflict with you, but I'm really going to dig in and try to understand it, I think we'd see the environment in our marriage change.
Yeah, and I think just showing your spouse that you care enough to attend to their concerns, I think you start to build that back up, that you know, and you start to sustain that. And Jesus really talked to us about the importance of respect. Like, we see Jesus model respect as he's interacted with various people in history, right? He cared and had concern for his disciple, the gentleness with the Samaritan woman at the well, he was kind and sensitive to children. The Apostle Paul speaks of husband and wife, the importance of respecting each other as it respects out of Christ on Ephesians 5:21. So clearly we are called to be people who are mutually respecting one another.
If we all acted like Jesus, I think that we would be doing much better, right? If we really approached people with that idea of that gentleness and that kindness that he had, and yet this firmness too, right, that really this has to be something that is mutual.
One of the prayers that I pray often in the mornings when I wake up is, Father, may I be a little bit more like Jesus and a little less like me today.
Yeah.
And I think if every single one of us would say every morning, a little bit more of Jesus and a little less of me, I think our days would be a lot different than really is. And our attitude towards our spouse, our kids, our co-workers would change because Jesus acted differently than we do. And I think he's the ultimate example for us on how to live life.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Here are a few insights on how to sustain mutual respect, right?
Yep.
So mutual respect is important. We gave you three important statements on it. And here is some insights on how to sustain mutual respect. Because a lot of us do not know how to do that. So here's where we're trying to tie things together. So the first thing, if you want to build mutual respect, if your respect is not in your relationship with your spouse, you know respect is leaking out, here are a few things you must do in order to build that back up.
Mm-hmm. Be attentive to your partner. So what does that mean? That means that I am listening to what's important to you, and then I'm acting on that. So I'm hearing what you say. I'm not being distracted. That word that I said last week, we are attuned to our partner, letting go of any of our preconceived ideas of who you're supposed to be, and really encouraging and supporting that person that you are.
Show concern and compassion is the second one.
Mm-hmm.
We ought to show compassion and concern to our spouse. I say this, compassion rules over dominance every time. Compassion has this way of influencing us that is like, it is unbelievable. So couples who have lost respect to each other, they'll have lost the trust and the support, whether they just like recently went through that. If you want to gain that back on, insert concern and compassion to it, and things got better.
Yeah, and I wish I knew the verse exactly, but that whole idea of using honey instead of those harsh words, you probably remember where that's from. But I really think the short idea of that is we are going to get a lot farther by being gentle with our words than using harsh or loud or screaming words with each other. If I really need to take a moment to be, to remember that I need to be a compassionate person, then I need to take that time.
Listen, if you can't, if you're not able to use calming words, comforting words, if you can't create gestures that will indicate to your spouse that you are for them, not against mm-hmm. them, then you have to learn how to develop that, mm-hmm. right? And that's a whole nother come and talk to Carrie. Yeah. She'll
mm-hmm.
help
to
you
mm-hmm.
to how to find ways of putting good words into your mouth so that you mm-hmm. can speak them out into the open, right?
Mm-hmm.
And the Bible tells us the mouth speaks what is filled in the heart.
Yeah.
So be careful there because our words has a capacity to demonstrate what is inside.
Mm-hmm. And a lot of, and go to your next point, remember the fun times you had together is one of the ways that I often find that couples do remember how to be compassionate and that they love their partner, right? Go back and remember what made you fall in love. Remember those special moments in your life, whether that's a wedding day or a fun time that you had, a vacation, or just anything that, you know, inside jokes that you might have together.
Yeah, and I think that will lead you to the next one, which is to de-escalate conflict. I think that's one of those insights that will help you sustain mutual respect, right? Every individual, every couple knows how far it is too far. We all know that. And sadly, the essential knowledge, that knowledge doesn't stop us, doesn't keep us from walking too far into the conversation, into an argument that leads us to to violate the respect, the word.
Yeah,
respect.
And when we're tying up that bow of those things that we've talked about, is there's a self-awareness there, right? Like I am aware enough of what's impacting me, what's making me escalate, and I am willing to do what it takes to stop that, right? Do I know what it is and able to verbalize my fear, like we talked about 2 weeks ago? You know, that whole cycle that we get in of that fear dance of I'm not going to get what I need. Am I going to stop it? Am I going to take that time? And instead of going with my feeling, that's temporary and it's highly emotional, right? It's really flooded at that moment of whatever's going on, I need to take that time to stop that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and the biblical word for that is self-control, right? Mm-hmm. If you have to develop and to grow into self-control, and nothing builds more self-control than challenging times like argument with your spouse.
It does, right.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So which brings to the next one is don't bring up issues from the past. Mm-hmm. If you want to de-escalate conflicts, don't bring up issues from the past. I have never seen this happen. I have never, how could I put this? This never works. That's what I'm trying to say. Bringing things from the past into the fight you're having or the argument you have, and it's never going to work. Remember the day you did it. Like, that doesn't help anybody.
Right. And, you know, as a counselor, I'm going to say if issues keep coming up from the past, that probably means they're not repaired. And you need to go back and resolve those. And things that are way in the past, you probably do need help from someone to really go, look, this is an issue where I don't see your side and you don't see my side, but we need to repair it. But I will say, if we have talked about it and we have repaired it, it needs to be just like Jesus does, right? As far as the east is from the west, we are forgiving it and we don't bring it up again.
But the strategy is always like, you know, if I bring things from the past, it validates the argument I'm making right now, right? So it's like, well, I'm telling you about the dishes. Well, remember the last 3 weeks that you haven't done the dishes? Like, it seems like it in people's mind, it validates what you're trying to portray. And that's not true. That's not a good strategy.
It's not a good strategy because it's a strategy to win, right?
Yep.
And it's a strategy to be right. And that in itself is very disrespectful to the person and their character, right? Mm-hmm. A person who just isn't getting something right. Let's talk about that instead of all this evidence that we have that just really tears a person down. And that, I hope, is not our goal in relationships, to just make you feel as bad as I can.
Oh, well, I hope not. Be accountable for your actions and don't blame one another. That's another way, another insight in sustaining mutual respect, right? Be accountable for your actions and don't blame one another. Pointing the finger never works. The blaming game thing, it doesn't work. It hasn't worked for years. It won't work now. It won't work in your marriage either.
Yeah, responsibility. I mean, that's just the key word here, is take responsibility for your actions. Be willing to be vulnerable and say, yes, I recognize how I contributed to this. Yes, I recognize that I am not doing something that you need. And then ask that question, what is it that I need to do, instead of that whole, well, you're not, and so I'm not, blaming game that we have going on. We're both going to be miserable if that's what we end up doing.
Yes. And the last one is this: turn your negative into something loving. There is no hope where there is no life, and there is no life in negativity. I just like to say that often. There is no hope where there is no life, and there is no life in negativities. We need to let the negativity go and start to focus on the good that it is in the relationship, on the good that God has brought and can bring into your life and in what's going on in your life with your spouse.
Mm-hmm. And if we have that negative filter on, I really encourage, not just in relationships, but in life. Like, if you find yourself just being negative about everything, start finding things that are good. Start, mm-hmm. we find what we're looking for, right? And so if we're looking for ways in which you're disappointing me or not loving me or respecting me, we're going to find it. But the same is true that if I'm looking for ways that you're doing that or you're trying to do that, mm-hmm. I'm going to find it.
I love what you said there. You find what you're looking for. And a lot of people live negatively in their relationship because that's the only thing they are looking for. Mm-hmm. They're looking in a way to trap their spouses into their wrongdoing. Instead of building them up, showing respect and showing mutual love and support and helping the person to come alongside that person, to build that person up, to honor them, right? We are trying to find what they do wrong so that you can say, ha-ha, I caught you. One more time.
Yeah, I'm not sure what's fun about that, right? If we want to find that happiness we talked about in marriage, that's definitely not going to get you there.
No, it's not fun for the person looking for the bad. It's not fun for the person who get caught. Like, you bring division to your relationship. Division is never good. It doesn't build up. And so all these points that we have talked with you in regards to building respect back into your marriage comes from Galatians. Comes from Galatians chapter 5, verses 19 to 23. That's how I would like to finish today, all right? Reading from Galatians chapter 5, verses 19 and 23. And it's up there for you. I'll love to read it and spend some time with it as we close this sermon. This is what Paul, writing to the church in Galatians, this is what he says. It is obvious what kind of life develops out of trying to get your own way all the time. So he said, listen, this selfish kind of living, this living that doesn't respect people, that just focus on you, you are the center of everything, you can care less about anybody else. This is the kind of life that develops of trying to get your own way out of respecting people. This is what he says. If you want this life, pay attention. Repetitive lovelessness. Cheap sex. A stinking accumulation of mental and emotional garbage. Frenzied and joyless garbs of happiness. Tricked gods. Magic show religion. Paranoid loneliness. Cutthroat competition. All-consuming yet never satisfying wants. A brutal temper. An impotence to love or to be loved. Divided homes and divided lives. Small-minded and lopsided pursuit, the vicious habit of depersonalizing everyone into a rival, uncontrolled and uncontrollable addictions, ugly paranoia of community. And I could go on and on and on, Paul say. He said, like, listen, if you're not going to live respecting people around you, if you're not going to respect and show this mutual respect and love and support and trust into your relationship with your spouse, that's the kind of life you get. If you're not going to listen to what God is asking of you and apply that into your marriage, go back once again. Can you go back for me, Ethan, please? Thank you, sir. He goes like, all this list, a brutal temper, impotence to love and to be loved, divided homes and divided lives. I mean, if we're living in this, it's because we're not respecting our spouse. And that is not God's fault. It is not your fault either. It's both of yours. We need to have mutual respect, living biblically, to see opposite things happen in our marriages. If that's how you live, if you disrespect people, there is a better way of living. Go back there, Ethan, to the next one. Then he says, I could go on. This isn't the first time I have warned you, you know? If you use your freedom in this way, you will not inherit the God's kingdom. But what happens when we live God's way? When we respect people, when we read God's word and apply it to our lives in our marriages, what happens? God brings gifts into your lives. God is ready to bless you. Much the same way the fruit appears in the orchard. Things like affection for others, exuberant about life, serenity. We develop a willingness to stick with things, a sense of compassion in the heart, and a conviction that a basic holiness permeates things and people. We find ourselves involved in loyal commitments, not needing to force our way in life, able to marshal and direct our energies wisely. I mean, he said, listen, if you're going to live disrespecting people, there's a kind of life you will live, and that's not good. But if you're going to live by God's word, he says, respect one another, live in mutuality, thinking the best out of somebody else, then there's a better way of living life. And let me tell you what the fruits are.
Yeah, and I loved what you said in the first service that we had, is try that. Try it for 3 months, right? Living God's way, and see if that doesn't happen for you.
Yeah, and so that's what I usually do that. If you have a one-on-one time with me, I tell this all the time. I tell people this all the time. Money back guarantee, right? You know that money back guarantee? I give you money back guarantee. You put the number out there. I'll pay it back to you. If you go home and apply this to your marriage, 3 months, because it takes time to build respect. It takes time to heal the wounds. But give me today, write it down. Pastor Sam said it. Today is what? October whatever. You write it down, 13th. You write it down, October 13th. 3 months from now, leave this out in your marriage. And if God hasn't changed your marriage in 3 months, come back and talk to me. I'll give you money back. There's no money involved. No, it's just a way of challenging you. Leave this out. Leave God's word out, and I'll guarantee you it will change. Your life has changed mine, has changed my marriage for 16 years, and it will change yours. And it's never too late to start. As a single person, if you start living in this way, godly ways, by the time you get married, man, life is going to be better. Be much easier to live, right? If you went through a divorce and you're looking forward for the next, that's awesome too. Start applying this to your life and life is going to change. I promise you, your relationships will be better. Because it's not about Pastor Sam promising you. It's because Paul said on the verse before, can you go back, Ethan, once again? Sorry, buddy, I keep doing this to you today. He says this, he brings gifts into your life. Not you, not me, not your spouse. God brings gifts into your life when you put God at the center of it. Final words?
I have no final words. I think that's a great note to end on.
So you know you can ask us questions. If you go to the church website, you find a banner just like that. You click it on, it takes you to a form. You can ask questions about respect or the rest of the series. We would love to answer to you on Wednesday as we come live on the church Facebook. All right, let me pray, and we'll continue with worship. Father God, we praise you for the word respect, for this ability given by you to us to love, to trust, to care for one another. I pray that today, as we continue to meditate over the word respect, that we'll find the ways that we are disrespectful in our marriages, in our relationships, that we'll repent from it, that we'll focus anew, and that we would ask you to come into our hearts, into our lives, and to help us to respect our spouse. We love you, Jesus. It's in your holy name we pray. Amen.